Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Always a pleasure to have you here on the program, Close Up Radio. We're also excited to welcome Stuart Tim Scott, acclaimed author of Driving Toward Destiny, and his just released book, Destiny Uncharted. His first book, beautifully done, is an absolute must-read, set in 1971 during the Vietnam War. It revolves around young Jack Higgins, a recent college graduate going through an existential crisis, conflicted, restless, and uncertain on what path his life should take next. He decides to leave the U.S. and live in Berlin for some much-needed soul-searching. After buying a BMW motorcycle, he drives from Berlin to the south shore of Crete with a burning itch to go on an adventurous motorcycle trip. There, with only the open road in front of him, Jack's pivotal is filled with interesting characters that teach him about the value of interconnectedness of the human experience, creating moments of camaraderie with people from all walks of life and the valuable lessons we need to learn from one another. Driving Toward Destiny was so well received, he became a finalist in the 2022 National Indie Excellence Awards and the 2023 Reader's Favorite International Book Awards and the 2023 American Fiction Awards in the fiction adventure genre. And Tim's second book, Destiny Uncharted, is a sequel to the first book, which will be available in audio form as well. That novel follows Jack's return home from Europe and delves into his love for his girlfriend, Kara, and the struggles they ensue, the transformative power of self-discovery amidst turmoil and learning to follow your heart. An avid, voracious reader since his early youth, he is a published author, and we're so excited to have him here. This is part one of an exclusive two-part series here on Close Up Radio Live. Let's welcome Tim to the show, coming to us live from Jacksonville, Florida. Tim, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Jim. I appreciate it.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, and it's great to have you here. And this, again, is part one of our exclusive two-part series. I'd love to ask, what advantages do you feel, Tim, the world will gain from your books?
Well, Jim, what I write about is the human experience. This is basically from a younger person's viewpoint, I guess, but still, when you're in your early 20s, you got a world in front of you, and you have to figure out how to build a foundation of how to move forward. And I found that in my own experience that understanding and compassion are really essential to the human experience. Individual growth is, you know, where you want to be at. And it's really attained by supporting others and having them support you.
That's very important, absolutely. You have a message as well to the young readers of your books, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's for the young people, but it's also for their parents. I found that parents sometimes want their children to do what they want them to do instead of trying to find out what is best for the children or what the children are leaning towards or what their talents are. And as a result, if they don't do that, they don't follow their own path. And you know, there was a famous professor of comparative religions whose name was Joseph Campbell, who taught at Sarah Lawrence University for about 38 years, I believe. And he wrote books on the power of myth, but he also found that one of his fundamental precepts was that people should follow their bliss. That's a direct quote of his. And if parents don't allow children to follow their bliss, to find out what's best for them and go their way, then, you know, my message to the readers, to the young readers of my books, is that they should consider cutting the ties to their parents and creating their own destinies by, you know, taking off and learning life on their own. They need to gain experience of life of their own to find their own path. That's the principal message that I really wrote about in Driving Toward Destiny.
The motivation and that inspiration, you know, we all get the inspiration sometimes that motivates us to do certain things, and writing these books and the impact it can have on others. What was the inspiration, the motivation for you in that regard, the impact it will have on others?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer, and I was sort of cut off from that by what my parents wanted for me. So, you know, what I was talking about before, I experienced for a long time and rather deeply. And when I started to write this book, I really got a feeling for the fact that I wanted to tell my story. And my story was the fact that I didn't listen to my own self and follow my own bliss. So I spent a lot of my life chasing careers that my parents had set up for me, I mean, or put me on the path towards, and I wasn't happy with it. So, indeed, when I finally retired, it took that long, and I started to write, I realized this is what I should have been doing all along.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was happy doing it. And people say, oh, writing is the hardest thing you'll ever do. No, I'm sorry. For me, it wasn't. The writing was easy. The hardest part of the writing was doing the plotting of the book and making sure that all the ends tied together and the book moved forward and it would be satisfying for a reader to digest the whole thing. You know, I mean, it had to be a whole. But as far as the motivation was concerned, it was, you know, it was built in. I was doing what I really wanted to do. And so I found my path late in life. Okay. But, you know, I found it, and that's where I'm at right now. And I'm enjoying it.
It sounds like you are, yeah, which is a beautiful, sweet spot, great place to be. There's benefits to reading as a habit, right? Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, I've been a reader forever. And one of the reasons is, I mean, okay, I watch a lot of television, too. I'm not going to deny
it. That's fine. We love it.
watching movies is a little bit like reading. If you read, watch good movies, they tell a story. You know, I mean, there you are. Good movies made by good directors really tell wonderful stories. I saw Oppenheimer not too long ago, and Christopher Nolan really constructed a fabulous movie. It was 3 hours long, and yeah. You know, it was a very difficult
too,
story,
yeah.
And he wove the past in with the present, or the movie's present. And, you know, he showed what the effect of what Nolan was actually doing was on him from the past standpoint and the present standpoint. I mean, it was very cleverly constructed, and I really liked that movie. But to get back to reading, that's one of the things I like about reading, is to see how the plot unfolds. But one of my favorite books, which I just read again for, I think, probably the third time over the course of many years, is Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, which is an extraordinary book. It's one of Dickens' shortest books, but it's one of his best-crafted books, in my opinion. The wonderful opening paragraph is one of the best paragraphs of any novel written in the English language. It starts off, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And he goes compare and contrast like that, back and forth for about 20 lines. It is really amazing. Anyway, reading as a whole, take it holistically, is something that it's almost, when you get away from the television, is sort of a blissful thing to do. You immerse yourself in it. I mean, you're hearing the author's voice, but, you know, you're reading it, so it's your voice. And if the book is well written, I mean, I love Hemingway, for instance. He just has a way of presenting the material to you in such a way that it forces you to use your imagination to, he doesn't tell you everything, and you have to use your imagination as you're reading to fill in the blanks and create the rest of the picture. And it's a wonderful thing for your brain to do. You know, it feels good. So that's a benefit, I think, of reading, for sure.
Absolutely. It really, really is. And it creates balance and grounding in life as well. Your books, what do you feel, Tim, you know, sort of sets them apart from out there?
My books. Well, my first book, Driving Toward Destiny, you know, like I said, I wanted to tell my story, and it was my first attempt at it. I wrote it by hand because it just felt better that way. And it wound up being 150,000 words, which is twice the length of most novels. And it probably had a few too many words. but I wanted to be as descriptive as possible. I talked a lot about riding a motorcycle down from Berlin through Austria, through the mountains of Yugoslavia, down the east coast of Greece, and through across the mountains of Crete. I remember this. This is all back 50 years ago, but I remember it as if it was yesterday. So I described it. So I think that's where a lot of the words went. However, a lot of the rest of more of the words were gone to creating characters, which I found was as pleasurable as anything about writing. Some of the characters I had a very brief encounter with on my ride, and I used them. I blew them up in the book. I made them into complete characters. And I think I did a very good job of them. I mean, if I do say so myself, I mean, the awards that I won, a couple of them mentioned the fact that my characterization was full and complete and very well done. So, you know, I'm not just patting myself on the back. What was the question again? Sorry, I got rambling there.
No, what sets your books apart from others.
Oh, well, yeah. I said, in the first one, it was the description, I think. There was a lot of description, and a lot of that was also touching on Jack's, the principal character's feelings and how he felt about what he was experiencing. You know, if you don't describe that, you're not touching the reader. You know, you're not showing how the character grows. The growth of the principal characters is one of the main things that the reader wants out of the book. He wants to see what redeems the character. If the character is going off course or if his life is in crisis or something, you know, well, how does he resolve that? And he resolved it through personal growth. And so I had to describe that. And I think the book comes to a conclusion where he has resolved some of that growth, some of his problems. And as it turns out, he's bought into another problem, but that's, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but he carries that forward into the second book, Destiny Uncharted, where the second problem sort of blows up in his face, and he has to go through the process again in a different way to resolve his own inner inability to deal with certain issues, and can he grow to resolve them? And by the end of that book, hopefully he does.
That's important, right? Yeah, because really, books dig deep into the mind and experience, as you say, of the young man trying to find his path in life by gaining that experience of life, breaking away from the parents' influence. It's really important, mm-hmm. and there could be people reading it who are going through something similar, and they connect with the book and the books and the words and the feeling that is in the books,
right.
as
well.
Well,
I mean, that goes right back to A Tale of Two Cities. Sidney Carton was the, in the end of the book, of the hero. He was a drunken slob, a very bright guy, a lawyer, but he was a drunken slob at the beginning of the book. And at the end of the book, indeed, he sacrificed his life. He went on the guillotine so that somebody else could escape. And he redeemed himself, the ultimate manner. And that's one of the fabulous parts of the book. Wonderful. And what does he say at the end? He says, it's a far, far better thing I do than I've ever done before. You know, and that's, I think, his last line in the book.
Absolutely. It's really extraordinary. There are also four key features or aspects of your book. Maybe you can break those out for us as well, Tim.
Well, okay. One of them, as I said before, I think is... there's sort of a call to young men and women to break away from the influence of their parents and go out and gain experience of life on their own. How else do they grow if they don't grow on their own? They can't sit at home and do it. They can't just, be spoon-fed by their parents. That doesn't grow them up. You got to go out and it's not necessarily the college of hard knocks, that's what they used to say, but there are ways that, hey, once again, it's a matter of going out and finding your path and following your bliss. Go see what life is all about yourself. I think that's one thing. Yeah, well, actually, that sort of follows in this sort of two things, gaining experience of yourself and finding one's bliss. I would also say that young men, especially, should learn to embrace their feelings and not to deny them. I think that I know when I was younger, all the way into my 20s and beyond, we have sort of a cultural bias saying, you know, suck it up sort of thing. But there's more to life than just, you know, being stoic. You should, you know, you do have feelings, young man. So experience them. It's part of life. Don't cut yourself off from them. And I think lastly, I would say very important to know, have a knowledge of past history. And you can gain that from listening to older people, for sure. They have experiences that you can learn from, but you ought to know, you know, what history is in and of itself. There's a problem with that in that there's a very true expression which says that the winners write the history. And that goes for, you know, world history in general. There's a, I'm referring to a, there's a Netflix series that's on right now about the Cold War, and how it goes all the way back into the early communist era in Russia, and how Stalin rewrote history to suit himself, you know, and the pretty heavy-duty stuff. But you should know that not only was the history the way it was, but that history can be rewritten by people. I mean, the people who are in power. So history is a very important thing that I think everybody should know and study from all sides, so that you have a clear vision of, you know, what is and what can be going forward.
Which is really important, right, on so many different levels. You know, and of course the knowledge of past history is related to being experienced by older people, resolving current problems, finding the destinies, all of that's so important, right? As one is looking to find one's bliss, which is important. Why is all of this so important to you, Tim, telling these stories and sharing this and inspiring people in the way that you are through the written word and all your other efforts? What is it about it that inspires you to want to make this sort of your mission, your calling, the work you're doing?
Well, like I said, I always wanted to have my story told without having a specific means of doing it. I have seen, you know, and I'm old enough now to know, to have seen, you know, all kinds of twists and turns in the way things have happened here in the United States. Like I said, I just saw this history of the Cold War. And I think that if people don't, people who have certain knowledge don't disseminate it, you know, we just sort of freeze up. We don't, we can't react to events intelligently. I think we can be led rather than being able to be discerning about the way really is. I'm not someone personally who is going to be led anywhere, because I have enough knowledge to be able to say, no, that is not the way it is. And so I want to be able to give people a framework, I guess. Jack Higgins he's sort of a frame which people can build around and see that he has gone out and gotten knowledge that a way of finding knowledge that gives him the ability to move forward with the I don't know quite how to phrase it, but my character wants to be able to give people the way to not only find their bliss, but to work to help other people do the same.
How much of you is in the character?
You would ask that. Mm-hmm. In Driving Towards Destiny, that is, in fact, that's about 75 to 80% what happened to me when I was subject to the draft in 1971. And I was waiting and waiting. And I had a middling draft number, and it was very difficult to find out what I was going to do. My parents wanted me to go get a career. You know, you don't have to worry. You know, or they didn't even get it that, you know, you could be called up and be shot in Vietnam, you know, within a month. You know, it's just the way it was. So I was on the spot there. And so I just said, no, I'm not going to wait around. I went over to Berlin and got into a commune with a friend of mine who said he had an apartment, but in fact he was living in a commune, which was a kind of a wild experience. I had not expected that, but it was really kind of interesting. I was living with a bunch of European and had all kinds of experiences with them. And my friend talked me into buying the motorcycle because he had a Harley in the States, and then he had to take off, and I had to leave Berlin, and you know, I took off on my own all the way down to Athens and finally to Crete. And it was really quite a bit of the Driving Towards Destiny is my story. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Destiny Uncharted, however, is pretty much fiction. But it was something that I thought of. I said, gee, this would be really cool if this guy who had come through these experiences ran into something else that that I knew a lot about, too, because I'd been to all the places that are I've mentioned in Destiny Uncharted. And so that was a fun book to write, and I wrote it very quickly, actually. So, and it makes a good read because it reads quickly, too.
Absolutely. I want to let folks know that you'll be back next week with us as well. This half hour went by in a New York minute. Tim will be with us on the 27th, Wednesday 27th at 2 p.m. Eastern for part two of our series. We'll delve in deeper. You can, of course, go to his website, Tim Scott. officialbooks.com.
No, actually not. No, I have a brand new website. It's called
That's good.
Destiny Publishing LLC.com.
Okay, make sure when you chat with the staff, they update that and they don't have the old one on the paperwork. Tim, this was a pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you. And thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. It was a really inspiring conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
You have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Stuart, Tim, Scott, joining us here on Close Up Radio Live. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time. It's time till next time. Inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back in just a moment with another incredible guest here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.